Hello again, friends. Colin Cook here, a voice for those who have no voice. This is How It Happens. This program that is to help people to know the grace of God in the conflict with addictions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, food issues, lots of worry or anxiety, heterosexual addiction or homosexual addiction. We need to know how we stand before God, my friend, with a broken down humanity. If we don't, we shall be discouraged, we shall be disheartened, we shall be depressed, and we shall throw Christ away as we did at the cross. And it'll all be over. Ah, but not exactly all be over, because God even comes looking for the discouraged and those who have thrown him away. Our Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he comes looking for the sheep. And oddly enough, but this is where we can't let the simile continue for about sheep, but there are rebellious sheep who just will not be herded, and they nevertheless are God's children whom he will seek to coach and bring to him. So I urge you to listen to this broadcast each day, weekday, on the web. You can hear it anytime, faithquestradio.com. And get your faith trained, my friend. I'm not here simply to inspire, but to train. All right, now, as you know, we've paused in the studies of the book of Romans. That's where the foundation of the gospel is. Before we return to the beginning and start all over again, we're looking at these three factors that constitute addiction: spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, and escapes from pain. We're looking at the emotional wounds. Why is it important to do this? Because you can't mix apples and oranges, that's why. For example, let's take a man who struggles with pornography. He cannot get these images out of his mind. He is wasting a lot of time on the internet, the web. He is looking at lewd pictures, and he is simply fixated on these things. He is full of lust, and he is ashamed and very guilt-ridden. He's tried for years to overcome the issue. Did anyone ask him to talk about mama? Did anyone ask him, have you thought about dad lately? Now, you say, what in the world are you talking about, Colin? Well, this is what I'm talking about, my friends. There is the sin of lust, where we abuse people in our minds or our bodies to be satisfied and escape from the pain of our lives. But then behind that sin is something else. What leads a person to do that? Now, of course, we can't completely answer the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of sin. Of course we can't. You know, some people say, why are you fascinated by the Second World War and Adolf Hitler and Churchill and all of those? Well, I'm partly fascinated because I am absolutely mystified by the evil that went on there, and try to understand it. But of course, over the long run, I won't be able to understand everything. I realize that. But still, there are some things that we can understand, and there are some things that you can understand about the evil of your life. You see, every person in addiction is escaping from pain. That is the addictive dynamic. When I do this thing or that thing, drink, drug, sex, whatever it may be, I'm escaping from pain. But what is the pain, for goodness sake, that I am escaping from? You remember the other day that I talked about a failure to bond in childhood. Let's say a young man, a boy, has an absent father, or rather has an abusive or dysfunctional relationship with his father. The father is dead, or the father divorced, or the father is a drunk, or the father is distant. He may be at home, but he's emotionally distant, or he may be far away. And somebody called me this morning and reminded me, hey, there's another one, dominant. A friend of mine called and said, don't forget the dominant father. Yes, okay, the dominant father. Now, you see, when a child is brought up in a relationship like that, where his father has gone, either by divorce or death, or gone by drunkenness, or gone by just being emotionally absent even while he's sitting at home reading the newspaper or watching television or falling asleep while the kid wants him to play, or is dominant, so that there is no warmth in the home. Everything is discipline and rules. There, not to say there shouldn't be discipline, but let it be warm and let it be encouraging and let it be firm, but let it be gentle and warm. Where that does not exist, that child is going to crawl into his protective shell. He is not going to allow himself to be loved. For one thing, there isn't any love out there, so it seems to him in the family. And even if there is, in certain moments, he's afraid to get his head chopped off if he reaches out for it. And so he protects himself from love. He hides himself from love. Now, what do you think happens by the age of, 10 years later, or 15 years later, when he's a teenager or a young adult? He's starving for love. He's emotionally disconnected. He's afloat in the universe without an umbilical cord to the spaceship. And the effect of that, my friend, is that this man will be starving for intimacy. He will be looking for intimacy. But he won't know how to create it. Social intimacy first, friendship intimacy next, romantic intimacy next, following that, but he won't know how to create it. And so he will go to the physical intimacy, the sex, as a symbol of the intimacy that he could not gain as a child. Now, he doesn't know he's doing this. This is later figured out in counseling or the help that someone can give him as he begins to understand himself. But without this understanding, he's going to go home after one of his furtive flings and say, "What's wrong with me?" And he's going to feel very, very guilty. He's going to endlessly condemn himself. He's going to create false, rigid rules by which to control himself, which do absolutely nothing until the next time, you see? And the reason they don't do absolutely nothing is that he has confused a need for an escape from the need. A legitimate need, let's put it another way, that is the need to bond with an affectionate person in a healthy parent-child relationship. He has failed to see that legitimate need, having been unfulfilled, is now being falsely solved by this addiction, by this addictive behavior. You say, "But Colin, that doesn't make sense, because the parent-child relationship is non-sexual, yet he's going after the sexual." It makes eminent sense, my dear friend, because the fact is, the intimacy in childhood, to hug, to hold, to share stories, to listen to daddy, to be told, to be guided through life, to have bedtime stories read, to be given an affectionate kiss on the cheek before bedtime, to have your hair stroked, to wrestle, to play ball, to play games, to learn, to be like dad, all of these things create a bonding that is very, very intimate. Now, that same intimacy is desired even more redoubtably, rather more fervently, 10 years later. But oops, now intimacy after puberty is perceived as sexual. And so this boy, desiring to be close to others, finds himself becoming aroused in the presence of others, and he doesn't know how to deal with that. And instead of taking that into healthy ways, he slowly begins to experience merely the symbol of intimacy, sexual, the lust and pornography, etc. He experiences the symbol of intimacy rather than intimacy itself. And so what we have here, my friend, is that there is a real need, and then there is a false solution to the need. When we talk about sin, we're talking about the false solution to the need. But we are not dismissing the need. And therefore, if you want to work on your issues, your struggles, you don't simply recognize that you have a spiritual problem, nor do you simply recognize that you have an emotional problem, nor simply an addictive problem, but you take in all three. You say, why can I not go to God with this? Because I think he's a green-eyed monster that will just throw me out and punish me. And why can I not solve this problem? Because there's something else behind it other than sex. There is a need that I must look into. And by the way, that need unfulfilled creates an enormous amount of anger. And that anger is very often what takes a person into the addictive escapes, because anger is almost an overwhelming emotion that cannot be managed, so let me escape from it with a bit of sex. Do you see? And so, my friend, I urge you to explore these three factors in your journals and in a group if you can, so that you can get the help you need. And talking about a group, hang on, I'll be back. Yes, my friend, I have such a group for you. Starting on April the 18th, every Thursday night through the rest of April and all the way through May, till the end of May, I'm going to provide group support. More than group support. I'm calling it group, let's not call it psychotherapy, because I can't call it psychotherapy. I'm not a registered counselor or registered in the state of Colorado, but I can do much more than is out there, my friend, I assure you, because I can integrate these three factors, the spiritual delusions, the emotional wounds, and the escapes from pain. So, you can come to my home, 10 of you, no more than 10 and no less than 10, for 7 weeks, $20 per week, and we will do group, let's not call it psychotherapy. We'll start at 7, we'll go through to 8:30. Two people per evening, maybe one, but two more probably, will open up their lives and tell of their struggles, and I, as their counselor, will guide them through some of the issues that they need to deal with. The rest of the group will be listening in and will learn about their own life from that. And then the next week we'll go with another two, and then another two, and then another two. And everybody will be learning from each other. You'll take notes and you'll learn about yourselves. I guarantee it. And you will learn some ways of dealing with yourself that you've never learned before. Now listen, you've got to register by the 24th. Get these dates now. The 24th of May is the close of registration. You must call me at 303-738-8694, 303-738-8694 to register. I will let you know by the 24th, of evening of the 24th, whether we're on or not, based on whether we get the 10 people. If we don't, it's off. So you have to make a decision and make it quick, because I want to hear from you this week or next week by the 24th of this month. Then we start on the 18th. I'm sorry, did I say the 18th? The 16th of April. That's the day after taxes, so that should help you to remember. The 16th of April, and we will go every Thursday night, 7 o'clock to 8:30 at my home. I will give you the address later on, and you will sign a confidentiality form agreeing that you will not share anything outside of the group, and we will go from there for 7 weeks, $20 per evening for 7 weeks. All right, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Don't delay on this. Don't be stupid about this. Get your act together and call me. If you'd rather write, Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. My dear friends, thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. God bless.